Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this Lord's Day and what a blessing it is that we can worship thee in peace here in this nation. And so after the worship service, at the end of the worship service, as we gather here for the adult Bible class, we want to give thee thanks for this peace and want to pray, Lord, that as we study thy word, you will help us also to understand what thou has given to us in thy holy scriptures, and that we will abide closely to every word of holy scripture. We commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, and we shall read responsively from verses 1 to 21. Okay, that will be the whole chapter. Right? First John chapter 4. Verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We love him because he first loved us. Together, verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. As spoken just now, we began the series with a very quick survey on 1 John chapter 4, and we are going to end this entire series of study by also looking at 1 John chapter 4. And it's very clear that in 1 John chapter 4, the focus of this particular chapter has very much to do with love, right? The word love is repeated many, many times down here in this particular chapter. And so, yes, of course, right, this whole chapter would deal with the love of God. And not just the love of God, but more importantly, how a Christian should have love for fellow men, love for his brother. And that is exactly the conclusion that we see in verse 21, isn't it? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. But what exactly is love, right? That is how we begin the entire series. And I hope that through this series on love, you have better understood what love actually is, as defined in the Holy Scriptures. Without this understanding, and you know, if we simply adopt the notion of love that is found in the world, we may very easily misinterpret what we have here in 1 John chapter 4. And so, understand this. And a very great, very good illustration just happened yesterday when my father sent me a video. And in that video, you know, nowadays WhatsApp, you can send a lot of videos, right? Please be very careful what kind of videos that you know, that you see on the internet, and also what you receive through WhatsApp. You know, and sometimes friends would like to send one another all these kind of videos. Sometimes you receive from family, sometimes you receive from relatives, sometimes you receive from friends, and sometimes some of these things, they try and frighten you. Oh, this particular virus is spreading about. If you see this particular dancing, you know, say this particular person is dancing, don't click it, you click it, it's malware. You know, that kind of thing. And some of these things are recycled. One of it is the traffic police warning, I remember. Like when the traffic police first warned, don't use your handphone. Some people thought that, oh, it means cannot use handphone or cannot touch any device at the traffic light. And then the traffic police actually went on the radio, right? The chief actually went on the radio to say, no, at the traffic light you can use. We are talking about moving, and then you cannot use. Right? But of course, police at the traffic light don't use unless necessary. Okay, but that is what he clarified. But before that clarification, there were a lot of SMSs, you know, and a lot of WhatsApp messages being spread, right, concerning traffic police now were more strict. You know, you do this, final demerit points, everything, trying to frighten people. That's why the traffic police chief had to do his correction. Now, you think that would solve the problem, right? But lo and behold, after a few months later, I received the same SMS again. Then after that, 1 month later, I received the same message again. And then another month later, I received, after that, I said, please don't send again. It's the same message, it'll long be clarified already. And some of these scams, you know, they just recycle, they just change the names here and there. So be very careful of what you read. And the videos that they are also sent. And so my father sent me one video. He meant to test me, but he did not say that it was a test. He said, please read and tell me if the message is accurate. Wow. Now my father, very clever, also can test me. So he sent. So I took a look at the video. And this video talks, appears very Christian. Of course, the music is not, already give me the creeps, but never mind. Well, we want to focus on the content. So in the content, it says, oh, Jesus says, so send I you. Right? That is true, right, from the scripture. So send I you. I send every Christian to do my will. So what is Jesus' mission? Well, Jesus' mission is to spread this message of love and forgiveness, you know, to heal the world, to heal the world together, to unite the people. And so, therefore, go about and spread this message of love and unity and heal everyone in the gospel. And then it goes and talks about how, you know, there's this group of monks that went to visit Italy, and then as they visit Buddhist monks that went to visit Italy, and then as they visit Italy, they slept, and then the next day they woke up, they found that their shoes are clean. Say, wow, this is love. So he said, is the message accurate? Wow, he tests me. So somehow I got a feeling that is from the Roman Catholics and the ecumenical branch of Roman Catholics. So I wrote back. I pointed out, firstly, in the entire video, nothing about sin is mentioned. Then they talk about the gospel. What exactly is this gospel? No mention, right? Because there are a lot of false gospels out there in the world. Which gospel are you talking about? Then thirdly, is it true that Jesus Christ is coming to heal the world, or is Jesus Christ in some coming to send a sword? Now, in some sense, Jesus Christ comes is to heal the world in the sense that he wants people to believe in him, that he's the savior of the world, and then they repent from their sins, accept him as the Lord and Savior, and then be gloriously saved. That is true. But remember, in this entire entire video, nothing about that is said. Okay? And then it talks about the gospel. So what gospel exactly is it? Not mentioned. And then is it true that Jesus Christ wants to heal the entire world so that the way it talks, or so that there'll be no more wars, no more what? Is it true? In fact, if you look at the scriptures, you will realize that Jesus said, "I've come to send a sword and not peace." Of course, peace will come during in time, right? Jesus Christ is also called the Prince of Peace, but not in the way men thinks, right? Just to go and spread all this kind of message. So I wrote to him finally. I think the message is from the Roman Catholic Church. Then he wrote back, "Yeah, it is." And of course, this is from the branch that wanted to talk about, from the ecumenical movement, wanted to talk about love and to unite the people together. And so therefore, if you are not careful, you don't have the right understanding of love, you look at that video, and then, you may very well get a video that quote a lot of these things here in 1 John chapter 4, and your doctrine of love is not strong, you will fall for it. You will fall for it, and you may actually think that the video is a very good video, when it's actually ambiguous enough to promote the ecumenical movement. And later I did some research. Well, indeed, it's a video they are trying to unite so that Roman Catholics and the Buddhists can worship on the same platform. And Mr. Singh will tell you that is the reason why he separated from the Roman Catholic Church in the first place. Right, Mr. Singh? He's not listening. Well, that is what is happening. So this is right. So this is something. But please be very careful. Understand what true love is in the context of the Holy Scriptures. And if you look at 1 John chapter 4, how does 1 John chapter 4 begin? You realize that 1 John chapter 4 begins with this warning, right, beloved. Right, so those whom I love in the Lord Jesus Christ, look at what John say, and he say in love, right? Beloved, that means I love you in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are beloved of Christ. You are also, I also love you in Christ Jesus. And so therefore I write these words, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Right, and so that is the context. And this epistle, 1 John chapter 4, right, or rather 1 John, right, recall that it's written to combat Gnosticism. And this Gnostics would often teach that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh, right? Because the flesh is evil. So when Jesus Christ came into the world, he came as a phantom. And when the Christ which died on the cross is not a physical Christ, but it is a phantom Christ. And there will be those who claim that they have secret knowledge, they are a very exclusive club. And some of them may even say, unless you go to the higher ranks of the guild, you may never know the way of salvation. Right? Some of them, they teach this. And so that's why John wrote this epistle and say, you must try every spirit. Right, not every spirit that cometh, not every spirit though is of God. Right, those that, if you say that it's the spirit of God, and these spirits they are of God, then every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Of course, this deals with the current situation in those days. Right, Right? Especially with Gnosticism. Now you want to deal with many of the heresies out there in the world. You ask some of these heretics, do you believe Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? They will also say yes. So understand the context is of the Gnostics during those days. That was their problem. And so John was trying to say, it's a very simple thing. Right? Jesus is 100% man. And if they deny that Jesus is 100% man, well, they are not of God. And so therefore, you should reject them. You should test them. If they are like this, they are not of us. They are dead of the world. And when the world hears this and hear their teachings, they are very enamored by it and they will want to follow these teachings. Right? These will be the teachings that are antichrist. They are not of God, not promoting Christ. Whereas for us, well, we must put on we must have exercised biblical discernment. And if you are truly of God, then we know that the Spirit will lead us into all truth. And we are also of God. Like he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. In other words, well, as a part of the apostolic band, when I write these words, of course I write these words by divine inspiration. And so those that are truly of God, they will heed apostolic teaching that is found in God's word. They will not reject apostolic teaching or teach things that run contrary to these teachings. But these Gnostics, they do so. And so, based on this test, right, we will know right, whether or not the spirits that are in this Gnostic is the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. Very evidently, the spirit of error. And so it's in this context that verse 7 is given, right? From verse 7 onwards, a lot about love. Right? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Right? It's in this context that it's written. So the Gnostics, firstly, they do not speak the truth, right? Number one. And so you must always remember this. And then after that, when the other second test comes, when you want to talk about love, yes, you look at the Christian community, there is this true love that is in the Christian community among the fellow brethren. And of course, there is this true love that is also extended right towards all men, right? Just like how God loved the world, right? There is this love that he extends towards his enemies. There is also this special love which he extends towards his children. And so this can be also seen in the believing community. And if you say, therefore, that you are truly born again, you are born of the one living and true God, and you know him, then this love must be present in you. And of course, this love must not be contrary to whatever is said in verses 1 to 7. Right? So understand this. So sometimes there are a lot of all these videos talking about love, love, love. And sometimes people promote it, but actually they never check their sources. All these kinds of very mushy stories about Christianity. Please check your sources. Some of these things that are put up by people, by Christians, they are actually from ecumenical sources. Ecumenical. Don't do so without understanding. Always evaluate very carefully. What is this love they are talking about? Well, this love obviously is a love that is first undergirded by truth. And this love is the love that we have been studying right, all these weeks right, from the Holy Scriptures, especially with regards to how God loves, right, we have studied that, and also with regards to how God demands, right, when God demands us to love Him, right, is to love His Word above all things else in this world and to obey His Word. And not only just that, but right, remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's just quickly turn there and refresh our memory. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right, verses 4 to 8, or rather 4 to 7. Right. Very comprehensive love, not just a mushy love, but a muscle love. Right. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity wanteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, right? Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Right, so this is biblical love. And this is the love that should be present in everyone that is born of God. And so this is something that is very serious. If what is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if what is described in the passages that we have covered in the earlier lessons on love is not present in you, then it could very well be that you are not a child of God, because the Bible here states very clearly and very affirmatively, this love must be in you. But sometimes people misunderstand this love. They think that, you know, when I talk about love, it's the mushy-mushy kind of love. So when they look at people, they evaluate people based upon the mushy-mushy worldly qualification of love. And so they look at this person and they say, oh, this fits the worldly thinking of love, and so therefore this person is a Christian. When in fact, another person who actually follows biblical love, they may actually reject and say, this is not of God. Now, that is also terrible. That is also terrible, because it means either you are a person that seriously lacks discernment, you are so babyish in your faith, or perhaps also God's love is not in you until so much so that you cannot discern it. That is exactly what is stated down here. So understand this. Okay, the warning given to us, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. Why? Because God is love. And we have discussed that already. How rich, how comprehensive, how deep, right, this statement is, God is love. Now, if God indeed is love, and he loved in that manner, right, loved the world in that manner, loved us in that manner, loved his enemies in that manner, he loved the truth, he loved judgment, and all these things, they are not found in us, then the conclusion, you do not know God in that experiential saving way. You do not know. It is very clear, very direct. And so please do not think that this command to love one another in the church is something light, something to be neglected. It is not. Worse still is to take it one step further. Right? You take a look at verse 20. Right, verse 20. And here, God's word says, "Is if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath not seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" Now, here goes one step further, because the first one, just now, which we have seen, those verses, talks about how a person loveth not. Right? There's no love in him. Here, it says, not only does this person does not love God, but he goes about deceiving others. First, he says that he deceived himself and deceived others by saying, I love God. And this is very common in Christianity today. Everybody says they love God. True? Everybody says they love God. Even the charismatic churches, the one that they play the band very, very, very loud, like CCM music, and they preach the health and wealth gospel. You ask them, I'm doing all these things because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody will talk about the love of Christ. But herein comes the test. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother. Of course, hateth his brother means, firstly, you do not love the brother in the way that is stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You are not patient with him. Or when you deal with him, you choose to, you choose to turn a blind eye to sin. Your relationship with him is one that is very worldly. No, it's just about maintaining relationships. It's not according to the Holy Scriptures. It's not founded upon God's word. And in the end, the way you deal with him leadeth to the destruction of this brother, or you mislead this brother. Or not only just that, but when it comes to the saints, right, those that love the truth, instead of working alongside them, you reject them, you destroy them, you persecute them. No, you hinder the work of God, and you go about telling people, "I love God, I love God, I love God," but you are doing all these things. John has very, very sharp words now. Sometimes people say that John is the apostle of love. Very, very gentle. The epistle, very, very simple to read. But actually, the words he says, they are very, very sharp. In fact, I tend to think that John is sharper than the apostle Paul. Very sharp. He just goes straight to the point. He is a liar. Doesn't even mean he words. Simply put, he lies. That means, in other words, whatever he says is just hypocrisy. He says he loves God, but there is no love in him. Because when you look at how he deals with his fellow brother, fellow man, this love cannot be seen. In other words, what John is trying to say here is this. Firstly, if you say that there is this love of God in someone, then this person must first have a love for God, right? That is the vertical aspect. Okay, never mind. Vertical aspect, right? Love for God. And then, there is also this horizontal aspect, which is called the love for fellow men. So there will be a love for God, and there will also be a love for men. And together, it forms the cross. And it is together. It cannot be separated. If you say that you have a love for God and then there is no love for man, it's no longer a cross, isn't it? It's just something that is straight. Now that cannot be. You cannot say that you love for man and then when it comes to the love for God, and you say you love God means you love His truth, you obey Him, everything, it's not there. Then it's also not true love. Either way, it's wrong. And so therefore be very, very careful. You know, sometimes there are people who go about from church to church. Recently I've seen quite a few of them, and I'm rather concerned about such brethren. Well, they go from church to church, and oftentimes you ask them, why are you not settled in the church? And then you look at the reasons. Now, and we pray that they are honest. Now, sometimes they are not honest, they just say, I just feel like being here. Then after that, they disappear. But once in a while, you have someone who is rather more willing to strike the conversation, and then sometimes they say, they don't like the pastor here, don't like the pastor there. That is really no good. But sometimes it's not the pastor. No. It's just simply fellow brethren. Liking a pastor is hating a pastor because of preaching that is... that is actually correct, or it's a very bad reason to move already. But sometimes it's even within fellow brethren. Oh, you know, and I have known one person who moved because of this. You know, this person, when I want to come for this meeting, he is my good friend, but he did not book a seat for me. And then he went to take the best seat in the entire meeting room. How can he do that? Then in the end, I cannot attend this meeting. I have to go away. And so now when I look at him, I cannot stand the sight of him. So therefore, I leave to another church. You believe there are such people like that? But there are. There are. They just leave simply because they cannot stand the sight of this particular person who didn't reserve a seat for him. Just a seat. No, just a seat. No. I hope in Tabernacle... don't have, but really just a seat. Oh, then after that, the rest is example. But the rest are just example. So after that, they go another place. Oh, you know, this person, I asked him to make kopi. He made for me kopi. Oh, wow, very angry. I'm friend with him for so long. I now go to this new church. I'm friend with him for what? He should know that I like kopi, but he give me kopi. Oh, some more kopi. Oh, kosong. Well, not happy, leave. It can be as ridiculous as that. And they keep leaving, hoping to find a congregation whereby the people will know perfectly exactly what he likes. Actually, it's just an excuse. And then talk evil about brethren everywhere they go. Now, this kind of behavior is actually very, very dangerous because it fits exactly the description in verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. He is a liar. And they think that when they go to the other congregation, just immediately people do not know about sin, their sin. Now, it's true, people may not know about their sin, but God knows. And if they allow this hatred for that brother who perhaps didn't mean to do such an act, or even if the brother has done wrong, right, is there no scope for forgiveness? But allow this hatred and, you know, to just dwell all the way. And there are some Christians who hold on to this hatred for the so-called for the brother all the way unto the grave, you know, all the way unto the grave. Well, that is very, very dangerous. Because if you look at God's word here, God says, if you are like that, then you are a liar. And when you are a liar, you go back to what is said before, like the love of God is not in you. What does that mean? You may not even be born again. Very simple. You may not be born again. And so therefore, remember in one of the lessons we learned about this guy called Diotrephes, who learned to love to have the preeminence. And if you have attended the prayer meeting, you probably have heard of him also. Diotrephes. When it comes to true brethren coming in, and then because he wants to be first, and then he wants to eject them, and then he hates them. And then if he continues on that pathway, he does not learn, he does not mature in his faith. What could that mean? Well, perhaps he's not even born again, because he is a liar. And how do we know he's a liar? Because, very simple. You see your brother every day, right? For example, I look at Isaac. I can see Isaac very clearly. He's seated down there. He has two eyes, one nose, one mouth. I can see very clearly. This is Brother Isaac. Yeah, Brother Isaac also can see me very clearly. I can see Hong Kong very clearly. I can see Miranda very clearly. These are things I can see physically with my eyes, right? People I can see physically with my eyes. And we know that we are people that are very much bound by our senses, correct? Now, that which your senses can see and can experience, and you can see every day, you cannot even love them. Now, what about God? What about Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is no longer physically here on this earth. The next time he returns, he's going to return as a judge. Right? You cannot see God with your eyes. Now, you are trying to say that you love something that you cannot see with your eyes, and yet the brother which you see with your eyes, you hate that brother. It just does not make sense. It is a logical fallacy. Like if you study these things about logic, you will realize that this is logical fallacy. Contradictory, it cannot occur. And so, please understand this very, very, very carefully. And so, we pray down here, especially if among ourselves there is a hatred for brethren, please resolve this with the Lord. It's not something that is good. It's actually something that is dangerous. And learn to love one another. When we talk about love, remember, love one another in the right way. We're not talking about, no, you say that you love that brother means if let's say the brother is traveling in sin, you don't go and correct. We're not talking about that. In fact, if the brother is traveling in sin and you don't go and correct, right, it's as good as hating the brother. You go and correct gently and in a way that is meant to help him. And then that is love. And when you do that, what does it mean? Right? What does it mean? Now, let us look further in the scriptures. Right? Firstly, in verse 9. Right? Verse 9, God's word here says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Right? So this love is also a self-sacrificial love. right? Because right, the this love is one that is demonstrated by God, and God Himself, right, gave His only begotten Son, right, that you may find salvation in Him. And so, therefore, if God loved us in this way, we also ought to love one another. Right. Then verse 12, right, important here now. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. So one more time, no man has seen God. Now, what is John trying to say? Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, in some sense, people, they see God, right? But now, Lord Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven. So, no man can see God anymore. No man have seen God at any time. So, in what way can people see God? Now, of course, but people can see God by the Holy Scriptures, yes. But another way people can see God is by how fellow brethren interact with one another, the love that is present among the community of believers. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ means when He says in the Gospel of John, right, by this shall all men know that you are My disciples if you have love, what? One for another. Right? And of course, we are talking about biblical love, not the fake kind of love. Right? Fake kind of love, nobody will know God. They will know a fake God or a wrong God. Right? But the true love that He sees in the church community, yes, by this, men shall be able to see who exactly God is, right? God is love. Right? I see God when brethren learn to love one another. And so it goes on to say down here, and because of this, therefore, the love of God is perfected in us. Right? The love of God is perfected in us. And then you look at verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Guys, God's love is perfected in us. In the sense that, well, now people can see exactly what is meant by God's love. And to give an illustration, well, just recently we have the vigil service. And one thing in which I made the observation about, and I hope everybody can continue right in this, is when we have a vigil service, and we have a vigil service of Charlie, and this sister Lillian is a widow. And the widows, even today, right, in society, tend to be neglected. I observed for a few times in several churches, when widows have their vigil service, usually they are very poorly attended. Nobody wants to go. Because who is the widow? I don't know. If somebody, let's say, like an elder or a deacon, or the elder and deacon's mother or whatever, wow, very well attended, especially if they like the elder and the deacon. They will be there. Okay, or some church leader, somebody of some status in the church, they will be there. Well attended. But if, let's say, it's a widow, or just someone who recently joined the church, is very poor, sometimes it's very sad. You go there, you see a lot of the relatives, they come and whatever, but when it comes to the church, very few will attend. What about God's word, who says it's better to be in the house of the mourning rather than in the house of feasting? Well, you just simply forget about it, and they're not there. But I was very encouraged, that those brethren who are able, and without telling, right? Except for one instruction which went out, can some brothers volunteer to guard the place overnight? That was in Elder John's email. Other than that, just an email that was sent with some announcements, and then those who are able. Don't you say the brethren were down, and halfway through I looked, wow, enough chairs, not Actually, the place was quite small and quite restricted. Usually, there's enough space to put the tables at one side and then the chairs. But the place was rather restricted. Then everybody came. And that is good and very important in order to comfort the bereaved. Now, that is called Christian love. Well, now we have a brethren who is weeping. Well, we weep with them that weep. Now, that is a ministry, of course, right, to the one who is mourning. But also, don't forget that when church brethren gather like this, right, to comfort the mourning, and then remember the relatives are there, and then some friends are there, and then when they see, the brethren are all here, and then the brethren are helping this widow, and then caring for one another, and it is sincere. It's not, okay, this person do this duty, this person do this duty, this person do duty, and then just come. Or it's not just the some will call the mercy ministry, and which I think is a necessary ministry. You know, all those officially in the mercy ministry come. All those outside of mercy ministry don't need to come. Wow. Then really, right, we must remember, minister unto all. Actually, all should come. Wow. They all come sincerely from the heart, and then this love is present. That is a very powerful testimony to the people who are outside of Christ to see, yes, there is this care among Christian brethren, there is this love of God that is there. Then coupled with the preaching, of God's word at the vigil service. No, you just imagine, the preacher comes and then the preacher preaches. Jesus is the resurrection and life, this is a comfort and this is hope. And then people look around, where are the brethren? No, and let's say if they know the church is of some size, you know, Bolang. What will be the thought of the people who are attending at the vigil service? These Christians, they don't even believe their own message. True? These people, they don't even believe their own message. They are not even caring for the brethren. So how is this the love of God? They cannot see. But once everyone is there, and sometimes you need not even do anything, just simply by your presence there, everybody can see, the unbelievers can see, and that itself turns into a very powerful gospel message about God's love. The love of God in that very particular situation will now be perfected. And so, I want to just share that I was deeply encouraged to see that happening. And I pray that, this will continue to abound in Tabernacle. You know, let this love abound. Just want to encourage you. It's not something to be underestimated, but something that should be upheld dearly. This love for one another, because when you do that, well, people actually in some sense they see God, and they see God in the bright picture of God is being presented. And so, this is what we have here in 1 John chapter 4. And so, what have we learned in this entire series, right? We're going to close down here very quickly. What have we learned in this entire series? Well, first, we started off by talking about the love of God. And when we talk about the love of God, there are very different aspects of the love of God. What are these various different aspects of the love of God? Metatias. Say one. Reserve the privilege for the other Ebenezer people also. Okay, God's love for the elect. Okay, next. Choose one. Metatias, quick. Gideon. Okay, Gideon, second one. Revision, you see? Now close series. Yeah? Must remember. Love. God's love for the elect. God's love for the unbelievers, right? In what way did he love the unbelievers? Okay, in terms of salvific offer, right? Freely offered unto all men. Some more? Okay, choose another one. Choose another person. Huh? Or Bevan. Okay, well, you're going down this way. Okay, Bevan. Oh, okay. So skip this one, okay? God's love for the unbelievers in terms of the free offer of the gospel. Then there is a second aspect still not mentioned. Okay, so that one's leave hanging. We even say love for righteousness. Okay, correct. Some more? Next. I guess must be Daniel. Okay, Daniel, come. Yes, general provision part. Okay, he filled up. Okay, so salvific offer, general provision, right? Right. The rain not only rains on the land of the elect, right? Rains for everybody, shelter given for everybody, food given for everybody, right? God didn't straight away kill people, right? Allow people to live, right? Hoping that they will come unto salvation. Good. Okay. Then you have the love for righteousness some more. Okay, Brittany. Down this way already. After that, Rachel, then go down Desmond, Shomarim already. Okay, God's love for the world, that would be the unbelievers, okay? Anymore? Okay, never mind. We ask, God's love for the saints, okay, that was what Mattathias mentioned, right? Correct, Mattathias, that's what you say, right? For the believers, right? Believers are the saints, right? Okay, we ask Rachel to fill. Okay, come, Rachel. Help. Oh, for wasn't here. Okay, good excuse. Okay, Desmond. Huh? Yes, don't forget God's love for His only begotten Son and the only begotten Son's love for, unique love for the Father. Right? And then in some sense, the Spirit also hints that the Spirit also loves God the Father and God the Son. Right? Right? And so, yes, there's this unique love in the Godhead itself. Last one. Love of righteousness. Okay. Hong Hao, he should really shoot at you. You see his eyes. You cannot avoid his eyes, or his eyes like arrows, he shoot at you. Really. Last one. Yes, love of judgment. Of course, he judges in truth and right. He loves righteousness. And so, therefore, when he judges in righteously, truthfully, and he loveth to judge. That is his nature. There must be this judgment between error and truth. And that is how God's love. And the way God's love, how God loves, must also be the way how we love. And we dealt with when we have this love for God, right, God's word is first, above all relationships in this world. Right, Deuteronomy chapter 13, above all relationship in this world, above even what our senses can see. Right, by faith you stick to God's word, you obey. And then we went through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the various different aspects of God's love. All these will form a fuller picture of what love is. And with this kind of love, here finally we conclude. When God says that He is love, this is the kind of love that He's talking about. And then when we say love one another, is we love one another in this comprehensive way that is stated in the Holy Scriptures. If we don't have this kind of love in us, it could very well be that we are not even born again. On the other hand, if this love is present within us, this is one of the ways, or this is the way in which the world can indeed see God. The world will indeed know that we are the disciples of Christ. So may the Lord help us to understand this and grow in our understanding of the love of Christ. And if you want to grow some more, you can ask Shomarim for the... Are there still more places open? No, right? Still have us? Still open? The retreat? Oh, why not? That is what Sharon said, I do not know about. Okay, ask the leadership. There's still place you can attend if you have time. If not, you can... Are they tape? There'll be tape, right? Joshua Young will continue to speak more on that. 1 Corinthians... not 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right? 2 Corinthians, let me check. I think so. Is it? Right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right? He will speak on it, right, concerning love for Christ, so somehow about it. And then, of course, on 18th of June, Brother Samuel Joseph will come down and speak some more, that will conclude our study. I hope that does not stop you from continuing pondering about this deep topic about the love of Christ, and may the Lord also help you to grow in love. Okay, oh, God bless everyone, and God willing, when we come back next week, what do you want to study? Okay, we'll do Revelation. Okay, Revelation, part 1. Okay, starting from the first chapter. And we will, God willing, may the Lord bless us with a good understanding of what to expect in the soon coming future of this world. Right, I'd like to ask Brother Isaac now to close us in prayer. Brother Isaac, please.